Grace to you and peace from God our Father, our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Sometimes when we read this text, we don't get the terror that is associated with it. King Herod had heard about Jesus' birth, and Matthew tells us he was terrified. He was so frightened because he was afraid that the baby Jesus was going to take over his throne. He was going to get him out of power. And so the wise men come in, and Herod calls them over secretly, like, hey, when you find the baby Jesus, let me know, because I want to go and honor him as well. Now, as readers, we know that Herod is up to no good. The wise men go, and they find the baby Jesus, and they are warned in a dream by God not to return to Herod, but to keep going. And I love how Matthew says it. They left by another road. They were trying to, sneaky. No one's going to see me getting off the free bridge, because they're expecting me to go over the pay bridge. It is a terrifying circumstance that Jesus is born into. It's a political climate. Tensions are high. In fact, right after this, do you know what Herod does, what he orders? What was that motion, Bill? He's the slaughter of the innocents. Right. The slaughter of the innocents, whereby children under the age of 2 were killed by Herod and his forces. So we don't know exactly how old Jesus is in this passage. Matthew doesn't tell us a whole lot, but we know that at least he was under the age of 2, because that's where Herod sent the bookmark. God here begins as God intends to end with Jesus' story. You know, we talk so much about how Jesus comes to save the entire world, to save every person that has ever been born, to open up the kingdom of heaven, our liturgy says, to all believers. And that's not something that happens just at the cross. It's not something that happens at the empty tomb or the ascension. It happens at Jesus' birth. The three wise men were from the east. They weren't even part of Israel, part of the covenant community. And yet they see the star come up and they start following it. They were actually Zoroastrian. They were stargazers. And they see the star rise, and they don't know maybe exactly what it means, but they are compelled to follow it. And so they go and they seek out the baby Jesus, keeping their eye on the star so that they knew where they were going, not knowing exactly where it led to, but knowing that they had to follow it. And they come bringing gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Now, I don't know if you have been around infants or new parents, but raise your hand if you think that gold, frankincense, and myrrh is a practical gift for the new family. It's not, is it? Not. Maybe you've seen that joke online. Like if the wise men had been wise women, they would have brought what? Diapers, food. They would have offered to clean the house, hold the baby so that Mary could take a shower. I think it's a funny joke. I really do. But I think it also speaks to, we have expectations about how people are supposed to approach Jesus. You know, we have all of these gifts. Every person has gifts. And sometimes when they come, they don't look like the gifts that we expect. You know, the church is famous, the church around the world, that is famous for the older generation saying, we need what kind of people to take over these ministries? Older or younger people? Younger people, right? It's like me with my kids. I'm like, I need you to start doing the dishes and the laundry. I need you to start pulling your weight. I need you to commit to this household. And it's the same way with volunteers in the church. We need your gifts. We need you to bring whatever you have to the baby Jesus for his service in the world. But so often we look and we think, you brought the spiritual equivalent of gold, frankincense, and myrrh to a young family. What we really expected you to bring was a hot dish, diapers, and an offer for the new parents to shower. I see it all the time. We all have gifts. Maybe that's all the wise men had. Maybe that's what they thought would make the best gift. And if you have never bought what you think is the best gift, only to have it fail on Christmas morning, I want to talk to you, because that happens to me frequently. Not that my kids are hard to please, but it's happened. God has given us so many gifts that are unique to us, that are special to us. And when, like the wise men, we feel drawn to Jesus, all we can do is bring the gifts that we have. And part of the challenge for us as Christians, as people who are here now, and not the people who are still outside waiting to come in, but part of our charge is to help people know that they can use those gifts. You know, how many times have I watched Emily load the dishwasher? And it's hard to watch because she doesn't do it right, y'all. My dad, though, is worse. I have watched him do this every trip I have been home in my adult life. My mom will load the dishwasher, and my dad will come up behind her when he thinks she's not looking and rearrange every single dish in the dishwasher because my mom doesn't do it the right way. There is no right way to offer our gifts to God. There is no right way. What I do really well, and I have a plan for how I'm doing it, may not be Tammy's way. And just because she does it differently than me and brings different gifts to the table doesn't mean she's wrong. It means she's gifted differently. Mary and Joseph could have stood at the door to the baby Jesus and said, "Sorry, we are all about practical gifts. Check out our registry." But instead, they welcomed Jesus in. They weren't gatekeepers against the baby Jesus. They welcomed all gifts. This is a new year. Yay! It's 2020. The people around us will continue to show their gifts, not only Christians, but this text shows us that people of all walks of life. You don't have to be a member of a covenant community, a faith community, to have gifts to bring to Jesus. And as we're looking at reaching out into our community, not only Grosse Ile, but downriver in Michigan, part of what we're called to do is to open the door and to say, whatever gifts you have, bring. Whatever you have, bring it and offer it to Jesus. Because Jesus can make it work in ways that we can't possibly. It's not about necessarily what we bring. It's that we bring it at all to offer up to the Lord. There is no gift too big or too small. The gospel writers make that abundantly clear again and again and again. How much faith do you need? A mustard seed. How can you feed 5,000 people? With 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. How do you change the world? With 1 man and 12 followers. There is no gift that people bring that are too small. So my challenge for us this year, is that we keep our eyes open for the different ways that people are bringing their gifts. And if they are drawn to our community, if they are drawn to a faith community, my prayer is that we will open wide the doors and say, welcome, bring what you have, and let's honor Jesus together for the sake of the world. Amen.